You were gone, you were flying down, and then I left word and you got in too late, and I've been to meeting all morning on Vietnam. I had thought that I would exchange viewpoints with you about talking to Meanie. The tickers carry each day three or four little niblets items down there from various groups, operating engineers and maritime groups and building trades, Haggerty, different ones, kind of nibbling and being critical of the president, particularly of the fact that he could have done more on 14B than he did. And I don't know how they could have a president. They might have one that was more capable, but I don't know how they could have one that had been for what they recommended more than I have. And I would like to continue to be for it. I don't want them to put me in a position of all of the enemies they have saying, well, look what these folks are saying about you, and I'm trying to support what they do. And I assume that a man big as broad as George Meany understands that. I called him, for every time he called me, I called him three or four times on 14B. I had innumerable conferences, I'm sure more than he did on it. I had the White House, we contacted 61 senators individually. I cannot deliver Fulbright and Mansfield and McClellan, those folks on Vietnam, much less on anything else. Dirksen doesn't do anything for me. He does what he thinks is best for Dirksen and the Republicans. And if Meany, with the big late vote that Labor's got and all the money they got, if he can't deliver them, now I talked to every person that he asked me to talk to, I had him come to the White House. And I talked to him, and then I gave the Larry O'Brien shop a request and asked them to check every Democrat. And we took first everyone that's up this year. And then we took all the list down, and we contacted a total of 61. Now, I don't expect them to appreciate or even say thank you when it's over, although I have a good many times in my life, even when I lost, thanked the people who supported me. I'm not looking for that, but I don't want them to become estranged and to be angry. I don't think I'll ever want their vote, and I don't want a dime of their money. And they can, they don't have to give money to the congressman, because I thought these programs for schools and hospitals and Medicare and things were things that they wanted, and if they want to beat the men past them, that's all right with me. I don't want to. I hope not, but it's not going to affect my term or my salary or my job. It's going to affect the people and the ones they work for. I got a mean letter from Hank Brown to Meany, and he said that we were insincere. I don't like that, and if you see him, I hope you tell him that it wasn't very, very wise. If he meant me, and that's who he indicated, the administration, he said, was insincere. I don't guess he meant you, but it's the administration. Anyway, I thought I would say this to Meany. Then I thought, well, Meany might think I was noticing it. It's coming, it's affecting me, and I don't like to just see it develop. I saw the Amalgamated Clothing Workers. Is that Potowski?
Yes.
He came out against us on Vietnam yesterday. And 400,000 of them. And I haven't heard a word from either Dubinsky or Rose since the New York thing. So I guess that, I guess they feel like it a little alienated. because they ran off on that. I'll,
Could I give you a little fill-in and a suggestion there, just based on your reaction?
Yeah.
I've not talked to Meany yet. I thought I better wait until after I'd heard from you. Have you talked with him this week?
No.
All right. I have talked with a good many of the others who are down here. I've talked with Toski and having dinner with him tonight. I've talked with the operating engineers or the group that we have this problem with in New Jersey. I've talked with Schumann of the plumbers, who is really the ringleader on this building trade thing. I've talked with several others about it. I read it this way. First, that George Meany is doing almost nothing. He's sitting back and missing his highs, and has not played an active part in any of this. The ticker stories are about, in each particular instance, about 300% exaggerated. I've gone over the resolutions of these building trades and American Trades Department people actually passed down here. And except for the Meridum trades, in general, the resolutions are not a third of what the figure stories are. I add up the various reactions that I've gotten so far this way. The atmosphere is one of frankly, almost friendly, almost pleasantness, almost too much. I think they're worried about the position they put themselves in. My own inclination is not to do any courting at all. Not the least bit, but rather to talk with them about the fact that they've got some legislation there they ought to be pretty much interested in, and frankly, they're hurting us on every bit of it with everything they're doing here. I'm talking minimum wage and the unemployment insurance. But on Vietnam, we've just got such an important problem on our hands there that we need their help on that, but on that, I think we'll get it. Maritime trade thing has about got to be brought around. In general, it seems to me, on the basis of the conversations I've had here so far, that there should be no courting at all. There should be very earnest talk with them about the seriousness both of our stabilization problem and our Vietnam problem, and talk with them about how we can be more effective on both of them. I don't think there's any point, as I say, in doing any courting.
All right, I think that's good. Now, Potoski, who fields it, I think you ought to point out that we have had the experts who really want peace publicly, like Lippmann and Fulbright and the New York Times and the organizations of various kinds. And since November 63, they have suggested about 25 specific moves. And they have ranged from assassinating Jim to getting rid of General Harkins to moving Ambassador Nolting out of the country, replacing him with Lodge, to having a pause of 5 days and one of 37 days, to follow the suggestions of the non-aligned nations, having United Nations Secretary visit Hanoi, they turned him down, and to going to the United Nations, this is the third time, and I've tried every single one of them, including the 38-day pause, and in each instance, our judgment has been, our reaction has been, after we tried it, if anything, we weakened a little because these folks thought that they had the heat on here like they did in Paris, and that we were giving and getting a little weaker, and that we would ultimately give in. We do not believe they're ready to talk. Now, we think they're closer to talking than they've ever been because they lost 5,748 since the 1st of January, and they've had casualties between 15,000 and 20,000, and if that went on many months, they'd be out of men. They're down to 14-year-old boys that they're using a lot now. Now, we have put in men so that we can do that, so we won't have to bomb Hanoi or bomb Haiphong. We have put in men so we can protect these planes, not get them blown up around the base, protect the bases. About three of our men to support one. Out of 200,000, we got about 60 that can fight. It's very likely between now and September that General Westmoreland will ask for an additional 30 or 40,000 people. We believe we can get them without controls or without calling up the reserves. He doesn't know when it's over with. He doesn't believe China wants to get in. She hadn't shown any inclination, or Russia. He believes if we can have the attrition run the next 8 months like it is now, that he can see the end of the tunnel. But we don't know, and we don't want to predict that. We don't want to do it. So it gets to the point of getting out. Now, we've had our polls checked pretty carefully in Vietnam, out even in Viet Cong territory, and they're about 80 to 20 against the communists. We've had them carefully checked in this country, and I just read one this morning, the Security Council, five of them from Iowa, and New York, and Rhode Island, and the South, and so forth, the West. And these polls indicate about 10% of the people want to get out. About 1% want to stay in and do nothing, the enclave. That surprised all of us. Just 1%, though, is for that. About 30% want to do more. They're hawks. They call them radical hawks in the poll. And about 59%, about 60% roughly, it's 60, 30, 10. About 60% want to do what we're doing. Now, what we're doing is this. Trying to avoid imposing our will on the North Vietnamese people. We don't want to change their government or upon China. Keep them from imposing theirs on South Vietnam until we can get an election, and then let the people elect who they want to. Now, we think that's the least we can afford to do out there. We're going to do that, whether we have Petoskey or not. It's going to be harder to do if we don't have him. Because every time they see that we don't have somebody, they think they ought to hold out a little longer. That's about the net of it. But he need not worry that we are trying to go with this 30%. I've held back every way in the world I can. All of them recommended reserves last year. Last fall, I turned that down. Made them go back, write new plans. And I don't need Fulbright to urge me. Hell, I'm the man that kills these folks, and I don't want to do it. But I believe I kill less this way. And I can't find out what they want to do. They say, don't escalate. Well, now, does that mean what I do with Westmoreland's request when he comes in for 20,000? I have filled every one he's made up to now. But if I don't escalate, and he asks me for 20,000, what I do? If I refuse it, then he says, I got to abandon this place. If I grant it, I've escalated.
Well, I think this is the biggest problem I've got down, the most important stakes I've got down here, or that you have. In that connection, I simply took an hour and a half yesterday morning, went up to those hearings in the Senate, and sat in the back in the audience, so I kept one of the things to come and tell these people what I think is the number one interest around this country.
Well, now, there are two things you can tell them. You can tell them that we have a pretty accurate sentiment nationwide by Harris and by Gallup, and individual-wise by Oliver Quayle, and roughly it shows only 1% to want the Gavin theory, 10% want to get out with Morse, 30% want to bomb everything, want to go much further, increase it, escalate it, 60 want to do what I'm doing. Now, what am I doing? I cannot tell Hanoi that I've got a limit of 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 or anything. Then they know what they have to do, and I have done it. But I can say this, that we're only going to put as many men there as is necessary to protect those we got and hold back those we got